You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Philip says because ISIS lacks a worldwide reach of an Al-Qaeda, they need to rely on underground individuals like Hamza to advance their terror agenda. I'm Jason Wirt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm all about keeping it simple. Been getting the same haircut from the same guy for 20 years. You can't beat simple. That's why the first place I turn to when I need something is Grainger. I don't want one place for my safety products and another for my abrasives. Grainger has over 1.2 million products and the solutions I need to help keep this place running. Grainger. Simple. Simple. Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Birth defects affect around 1 in every 35 babies each year and are responsible for 1 in 5 infant deaths. Dr. Natalie Yaney with the Cleveland Clinic says while many birth defects are genetic and not preventable, there are steps that women can take to help protect their baby during crucial stages of development.
One of the more common birth defects are neural tube defects, or have to do with the development of the spinal cord. And for that, we do recommend that women take folic acid.
According to the CDC, consuming 400 to 800 micrograms of folic acid per day during a woman's reproductive years can help prevent spina bifida. Folic acid is also recommended to help reduce the chances of a birth defect known as anencephaly, in which a baby's brain and skull do not form correctly and is therefore unable to survive. Dr. Yaney says it's a good idea to have a conversation with a doctor before planning a pregnancy if you have pre-existing conditions that require medical treatment.
It might be a good idea to have a preconceptual visit with your doctor, kind of go over if that medication needs to be changed.
The DeLorean is coming back to the future. DeLorean Motor Company announced yesterday it's building about 300 replicas of the 1982 model made famous in the Back to the Future movies. DeLorean hasn't built a new car since 1982. The company has stayed in business by refurbishing and reselling some of the 9,000 DeLoreans in circulation. Those cars sell for about $50,000. The DeLorean featured in Back to the Future is powered by the Flux Capacitor. We're powered by WesternJournalism.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how to effectively brand yourself. I'll put an end to failure praising. I'll have the six things every entrepreneur should know to avoid burnout, and how millennials don't like debt and aren't into credit cards. It's Thursday, January 28th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more starting right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows it's currently 33 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Today, we're going to have a mixture of clouds and sun with a high of 39 and a low of 24. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy with a bit of sun through the day and a high of 39, a low of 18. Saturday will be partly sunny, high of 37, a low of 25. And Sunday, we're going to have sun with high clouds and warmer temperatures, a high of 45 degrees and a low of 32. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrials are down 29.11 to 15,915.35. The NASDAQ down 12.71 to 4480.87. S&P 500 is up 0.52 to 1883.47. Oil up $1.02 to $33.32 per barrel. And gold is up 10 cents to $1,115.90 an ounce. Everybody now. Jump up on your chair, sing along. Sing it loud. Now, you may be scratching your heads and saying, why am I playing that song? And it's only one reason. There's only one reason we dragged Todd Rundgren out. And that is today is National Have Fun at Work Day. So my staff, what I did was we had this mini basketball that we did for Flemington Raritan Youth Basketball about a year ago. And it sits in our showroom. And so I took it and I just started throwing it towards my employees. And I made sure they knew that I was going to do it. It wasn't like a game of dodgeball. So I say, here, throw this back to me. And they throw it back to me a couple times and then move on to the next person, on to the next person. And they're wondering, what? He's lost his lid. What are we doing? And and then I told them, it's National Have Fun at Work Day. You've had fun at work. Now get back to work. So thanks for Todd Rundgren for stopping in and doing a couple lines of I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the drum all day. So what did you guys do last weekend? Have any fun, big events, anything going on in your life? But whew. You know, I love it. I think I mentioned it last week on the program. I love snowstorms. The bigger, the better. It's that man versus machine mentality versus Mother Nature mentality. But it was, so I was out there with the snow thrower. I do my driveway, then I do a neighbor's driveway. We do the sidewalks, you know. So I was out there about four or five times on Saturday, probably between Saturday and Sunday. I was outside in the blizzard more than I was inside during the blizzard, just trying to stay ahead of it. And I'm sure everybody has similar stories as well. Make sure you order your I Survived the Blizzard of 2016 shirts, available only at Crown Custom Apparel, which is part of Crown Trophy of Flemington. So you have a memento of how you spent your weekend in January in 2016. Time for a Weight Watchers update. I am still on Weight Watchers, all good. Going to the gym every day, all good. And last night, I was able to participate in a conference call with Oprah Winfrey about what people are going through, how you're approaching it, how the new point system is working, and that was good. Now, here's some interesting news. And Oprah now owns 10% of Weight Watchers. She bought into that last July. But share prices for the weight loss company jumped 18% on Tuesday, after the brand released an ad revealing the talk show queen had lost 26 pounds with the service, all while still consuming bread each and every day. Now, this isn't the first time that the struggling diet company, which saw its stock lose almost 73% of its value in 2015 amid declining membership and $2 billion in debt has gotten a boost from the billionaire. The always charitable Oprah made a play to help save Weight Watchers in October, joining the company as a board member and buying 10% of its stock. The day after the partnership was announced, the shares, which were selling at just under $7, spiked more than 100%. And when Oprah announced that she had lost 15 pounds on a diet program on Ellen DeGeneres' show later that month, share prices rose again. But the ever-smart businesswoman, Oprah, says she was a bit nervous about putting her iconic name on the brand. She told DeGeneres that though she signed on the dotted line in August, she wanted to keep it a secret so she could back out of the deal if the company's financials took a turn for the worse. I didn't tell you about it because I wanted to play the stay-out-of-jail card for both of us, she said. But it's turned out for now to be the ultimate win-win. Wall Street is embracing Weight Watchers winning spokesperson, and Oprah gets to keep her bread. So all good there. So it was an interesting conversation last night with Oprah sharing her experiences, some listeners being able to call in and share their experiences. As far as an update on me, at this point I am down 15 pounds, which is great. It's amazing how just a little bit of change, and they don't talk about this as being a diet anymore. They call it a lifestyle change. How that little change makes such a big difference. It's only 15 pounds. I'm 1 pound away from losing the first bowling ball, which I talked about last week. And now the knees feel better. The breathing is easier. I have more stamina. I have more energy during the day. So, you know, I'm very happy with the plan. And now it's just a matter of, you know, keeping with it so that we don't, you know, fall off the wagon or anything else and start eating ice cream. But I'm definitely committed and looking forward to continuing, hopefully with the ultimate goal at some point of losing a full 65 pounds. Listen to this.
Wait, you can't.
But we'll have that in just a minute. But a lot going on in the political world today. There's a little bit of a firestorm brewing as Donald Trump has announced that he will not be participating in tonight's Republican debate, moving Rand Paul back onto the main stage. And this is all because of a tiff that Trump has been having with Megyn Kelly of Fox for several years. But wait, there's more. This sounds so familiar. It's the Jaws theme. Why am I playing the Jaws theme? It's simple, because rumors are now circulating throughout the political world and just about every television newscast that Michael Bloomberg may be considering a run for president. Now, he hasn't declared which party he's going to run for, but at this point, he said that if Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were the nominees, that he would throw his ring in the hat, his name in the hat. And more than likely, he won't do this until sometime around March or April. So let everybody else slug it out. Let the others fall out. And then it will join. He's thinking about joining the race. It's just about 50-50 in the polls as far as, do you think Bloomberg would be good? Some people love him. Some people hate him. But it will be very interesting to see whether or not Michael Bloomberg, in fact, jumps into the race as well. A lot of people have different opinions with regards to Donald Trump bowing out of tonight's GOP debate. Some say he's acting like a spoiled brat. Others say it's a brilliant move. I think it's a very crafty move on his part, in that now the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the debate are going to be all about who's not on the stage. And then somebody's going to wise up and say, well, there's still somebody else on the stage. And I think it's going to become an attack more on Ted Cruz than on Donald Trump. And Cruz is going to feel like Rocky Balboa up against the ropes against Apollo Creed after a while. And then finally, you know, he may be able to swing back once or twice. But I think this is an opportunity for Trump to say, look, I got a great lead. It's not going away anytime soon. And I don't have to go to this thing. Instead of me being the one where everybody hates me and is picking on me, I'll let him pick on somebody else. So I think the smart play for a Ben Carson, a Marco Rubio, a Jeb Bush is to go after Ted Cruz. And if that happens, then Trump's going to walk out of here looking like a genius tonight. Currently 12:15. We're going to step away for our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to effectively brand yourself regardless of your budget. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me this afternoon as we get together every Thursday at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both locally and on the national scene as well. Just want to remind everybody that next Thursday is the 3rd annual Super Bowl Tailgate Card Club. That's going to be hosted by us at Crown Trophy of Flemington, 33 Rayville Avenue. The time will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. We're going to have our annual trophy building contest. This is where we put all the parts out on a table and, you know, we're going to show you one that's completely built. Then you have to put one together 4 times, and the person with the best time will win. You can also have your picture taken with the Super Bowl trophy behind a step and repeat banner that has the logos of the 2 Super Bowl teams, the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. You're going to receive, everybody's going to receive a goodie bag. We're going big this year. So if you're in a member of the chamber and you want to come out to the, Super Bowl Tailgate Card Club, there's a very unique gift this year. We recently bought a new piece of equipment that's going to allow us to do something a little special, both for Crown Trophy and for the chamber. I think you're going to like it. And, then of course we have our annual Pick the Winner contest, and that's where you have to pick the winner of the Super Bowl and the final score. And if you get both of those right, you're going to win a $50 Visa gift card. So please join us next Thursday, February 4th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., 33 Rayville Avenue at Crown Trophy of Flemington. So always a good time. Glad to get together. Very happy to get together with a lot of our chamber members and members of the Flemington Business Improvement District. And hopefully get together with you too if you can join us as well. Now the question is, how can you effectively brand yourself regardless of your budget? Now, a brand isn't something that only large, well-known companies have, and think about like the McDonald's Golden Arches or something like that. It's a necessity for any person or business, from freelancers to international e-commerce sites, to establish themselves both as an authority in their industry. Now, a brand is not just a logo, it's a reputation. It's a way to attract and communicate with your audience, because people are often exposed to your brand before actually interacting or doing any business with you. And it also acts as a way of setting expectations. So to effectively brand yourself, you first need to understand the different components that are involved, why they are important, and how to properly implement them. Now, we're going to give you some of the essential aspects and steps involved in successful branding, regardless of your industry or your budget. You want to have a clear mission statement. Building a successful brand begins with uncovering who you are and what your purpose is. Your mission statement is the core of your brand. Every decision you make will stem from it. A few lines that clearly state the goal of your brand and in turn also reveal your style and tone. You also want to possess unique value. It's important to know your competition so you know how to position yourself against them. What do you offer that others can't? Don't just focus on what makes you great, but rather what makes you different. Search for other well-established businesses in your industry to see how they are marketing themselves. Learn from them. What are they doing that you like? You can mimic those tactics. And what do you do that is different or better? And then you can expand on those. A lot of times I always tell people, sometimes in business you have to be different to be remembered, particularly if there's a lot of players in the same pool. You also want to have a quality logo. Now, if there's any step of your branding you don't want to skimp on, it's your logo. Is it eye-catching? Does it look too similar to other brands? Your logo is how people identify your brand and one of the most frequently used and seen elements, so it needs to be high quality and accurately representative of your style. Now, for a flat rate fee, some designers will create a number of different logos for you to choose from. However, if you don't like any, you're pretty much out of luck. Instead, to ensure that you get the biggest bang for your buck and don't end up settling for a logo you are less than ecstatic about, use a site like 99designs. After having you fill out a questionnaire and giving you a free design consultation, designers from around the world actually compete to create a logo that you'll like. And if you don't like any of them, you get your money back. Plus, you get full copyright ownership. I'm going to put a little extra into this story. When you're going for logo design, you may want to just put a lot more money into this effort and then hire a PR firm, an advertising agency who knows both what colors are working best at that moment, what fonts are working best at that moment, what shapes, etc. There's a lot that goes into and designing a logo is a pretty emotional thing when you consider that this is what's going to be the representation of your company. So if you wanted to give the guys up at Success Communications Group a call, Russ and Tom and the guys up there, they've been on the show before, they would be able to help you. I can't speak to pricing and budgets, but they would be able to help you and get the same information so that they can create a logo that you would be proud of. You also have to have a professional website. Now, in this age of technology, the importance of having a website is obvious. It doesn't have to be fancy, but you need at least a basic one with all relevant information and ideally one that translates to mobile platforms. You will need to purchase and register a domain name as well as hosting. Two of the more reliable and affordable sites to do this are GoDaddy, where you can also search to see what sites' names are available, and Bluehost. You could use a .net since it typically costs less, but a .com looks more professional and trustworthy. If you're on a budget, there are plenty of platforms to create your own website, such as WordPress, where you can also choose from a number of free, easy-to-use templates. You also want to use your personal style and voice. Now, branding isn't just about what you like or what you look like, but also how you sound, how you communicate. Your brand acts as your voice. What do you want it to say about you? Are you casual and laid back, or serious and technical? Whatever the personality, make sure it shines through to appeal to your target audience. In order to appeal to the right audience, you need to figure out who your ideal customer is. Are they male or female? What are their demographics, age, income, etc.? What social media platforms do they use? What are some of the biggest struggles they face, and how can your brand help them? So narrow it down as specifically as possible. It's easier to market your brand with one specific type of person in mind rather than trying to appeal to everyone. You also want to have a social media presence. Social media is one of the most effective marketing tools out there today, and it's the least expensive. It's a great way to build a following, increase brand exposure, spark consumer engagement, and drive revenue. But don't waste time using platforms that your target audience is not using. Implement tracking and analytic tools to measure the effectiveness and reach of each post to learn when the best times are to post. Stick to major ones, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google Plus at first. This is also a great place to provide valuable and shareable content. Strong content strategy is key. Now, it's hard to stay relevant in conversations online today if you're not participating in them. Now, while you could hire a copywriter or a blogger to help produce content on a regular basis, if you're on a budget, all you need is some time, patience, and creativity. Your content is a way of taking your brand and letting it shine. Where your logo is a first impression, your content allows you to make a lasting one. So read up as much as possible on SEO trends and keyword planning by following industry leaders such as HubSpot and Copyblogger. Identify what questions your target audience is asking and provide them with consistent communication to position your brand as an invaluable resource. So there you have it, how to effectively brand yourself regardless of your budget. It doesn't really matter. You could have been in business for 70 years. It wouldn't matter. Sometimes you have to rethink the brand. What worked back, in 1950 may not be working right now for you. Sometimes, and I would love to get Russ's thoughts on this and the boys up at SCG, sometimes it's okay to change a logo, but remember, you run the risk that people won't identify with it. You know, a couple years ago, the Got Milk campaign, which was hugely popular, changed its tagline, and now nobody even knows what the Got Milk really stands for. I can't imagine a McDonald's without the golden arches. So make sure if you do that, that you've researched it well, you've definitely worked with a professional to see how it will be received, and also been tested with focus groups. And I know I've mentioned on the program in the past that I'm on the board of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And over the past 4 or 5 years, we've had 3 or 4 different new marketing directors. Now, iconically, JDRF was known for the Walk to Cure Diabetes. And since then, we've added bike rides and other activities. But the sneaker, the red, the yellow, the green, and the blue sneaker were always identified with JDRF. And then they kind of switched from that to calling themselves, T1D for type 1 diabetes. And they incorporated the T1D into the logo, and it was very nice and slick, but they got rid of the sneakers. And a lot of people complained that now it wasn't the same old JDRF anymore. And they tried to target more of the adult audience that has type 1 diabetes. So always a new tagline, new logos. And at one point, I got on a conference call with the folks down in Washington and said, "You got to stop." I said, "We can't keep reinventing ourselves every 12 to 18 months because now we're losing our audience." So they finally did put the brakes on that, and hopefully they can just continue obviously with the cause and the mission and get everybody to come on board with that. All right, I have a great story that I've been chomping at the bit to get to because I'm just getting a little annoyed with people right now. In one aspect of how they approach their life and their business, and we're going to talk about it. It's called failure praising, and we're going to step away now for our news break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that a little bit more. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Microsoft is involved in the Iowa caucuses this year. Daniel Lewin, Microsoft's Corporate Vice President for Technology and Civil Engagement, says Microsoft will help with reporting of results.
This year, the reporting results will be facilitated through a first-of-its-kind mobile-enabled cloud-based platform, which will bring accuracy, efficiency, and security to the reporting process.
Each party will have its own app available on iOS, Android, and Windows devices to support its caucus voting process. Also on site, 2016 Iowa Caucuses Media Center will provide journalists with a place to report on the lead-up to and results of the caucuses. The weeks-long occupation of an Oregon wildlife refuge may be nearing an end. 3 more protesters were arrested overnight as they approached a checkpoint manned by the FBI and Oregon State Police. 5 others in the group were released. This is USA Radio News.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road, and with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the Certified Pre-Owned Sales event going on now through February 29th, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about the next half hour. And before we get going, we'll check the weather one more time. Today we're going to have a mixture of clouds and sun with a high of 39 degrees and a low of 24, currently 33 degrees here in Flemington. For tomorrow, it'll be mainly cloudy with a bit of sun throughout the day and a high of 39 degrees and a low of 18. For Saturday, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 37 degrees and a low of 25. And for Sunday, we're going to have sun and high clouds with warmer temperatures, a high of 45 degrees and a low of 32. That's your weather. So, again, glad you could join us here as we enter the second half hour of the program. If you know me, and there's a lot of people listening who do, you know that I hate failure. One of the best banners and most motivational banners I ever saw was at Hendrick Motorsports when Jeff Gordon started racing and Ray Everham became his crew chief, and they hung a banner. They hadn't won anything yet. They were barely starting out, and he hung a banner up in the shop that simply said, "Refuse to lose." What I hate about failure is that, or what I hate about failure today is, you know, you have to learn from your mistakes so that you can move on. I've tried different marketing tactics and campaigns. They've failed. I go back into them and I look at them and I say, where did we make the mistake? And then I try to either improve upon them or discard them. But I just don't like losing. I don't like failing. And I'm not a sore loser or anything like that. I'm gracious in defeat. But I just, when it's my fault, boy, that rips me apart. So I hate failure. Now, recently, for like what seems like the umpteenth time in the last few months, I was greeted by another article about failure when I logged into my news feed the other day, and this one followed the exact same pattern as all the others that I've read. Ex-startup's founder pours their heart out about the company's failure and then tries to caution other founders on avoiding the same pitfalls that they fell into. And that's all well and good, but I have a major issue with these posts, and the fact of the matter is that these founders should have known better in the first place. For some reason, the world has become enamored with failure. It's the new flavor of the month, and everyone is talking about failure as if it were the new success. For pity's sake, there is actually a conference that is built on the idea of failure. And if that's not a sign of the apocalypse, I don't know what is. But what many of the people praising failure seem to ignore is that you're not supposed to just learn from your personal failures, but from those around you as well. Now think about this. A whole conference on failures. And I think it's that need, desire, or want to feel good about what happens. I hear about it every day. I'm in the gym and I hear people who have gotten laid off, lost their jobs, closed their business, whatever the case, and these are all terrible things that happen. But then I hear the excuse train roll out and I'm like, okay, stop. This is where it ends for me. They make excuses and they're still using excuses like the economy and Obama and this and that, you know, moving companies offshore. And I get all that. You know, there are certain things that will happen, but let's face it, the economy has gotten much better in the last 2 or 3 years. Gas is at an all-time low, you know, relatively speaking. We're under $2 a barrel or under $2 a gallon. So we can't keep talking about the outside factors. Sometimes before the failure comes, you have to realize and look in the mirror and say, this is all my fault. Larry Winget said it in his book, you know, it's called Work for a Reason. Your success is your own damn fault. And you know, knowing when to just admit that you screwed up and move on is a little bit better. Now, I have a very high threshold for failure when it comes to both my employees and myself. I think that failure is an essential part of growth, My only caveat with failure is that you can't continue failing at the same thing over and over again. Making the same mistake over and over will drive me nuts. But you have to learn from it, and that's going to make you a better employee as we go. But with all of the failure praising going on, I think I need to add another qualifier to my tolerance of failure. The new qualifier is that you must also learn from other people's failures. In my business, what we do is if someone makes a mistake and it's going to cost the company money, and in November, December, we made a lot of mistakes, costing us a lot of money. But at that point, I had to put the brakes on and say, all right, that's it. Wasn't scolding anybody. I wasn't yelling at anybody. I said, okay, here's what happened. And I went through the whole scenario. This is what happened when we took the order. This is what happened when we ordered the material. This is what happened when we engraved it. Here's where the mistake was. And I showed it to the whole staff. I don't even have to name names. Everybody knows who's involved. And at some point in one or two of the projects, maybe everybody was involved. But I had to say, you know, let's learn from this. So now we put new processes in place, whether it's proofreading, whether it's verifying information with the customer or something like that, because we had to get that error ratio back down to a comfortable level. And for the month of January, it's there. But you have to learn, you know, if you see someone else making a mistake in business, and it could be anything from overextending themselves with credit, expansion, you know, too rapidly or something like that, learn from that. If you see a business growing and they're opening new locations all over the place, and then a couple years later you see that they're closing locations all over the place, well, maybe that expansion was just a little bit too rapid. So learn from others and understand that you are not a beautiful and unique little snowflake. And I tell my team members that they are not snowflakes, and there's nothing unique or beautiful about what they're going through. They're experiencing the exact same things that countless people before them have experienced. And I don't do this to insult them, but rather I do it to give them perspective. If they know that others have already gone through what they're going through, then they know that others have found a way where they can overcome it and continue on with the same problems. And this makes them realize that they're not alone and that there are roadmaps to follow. Sometimes it may mean that we have to call a different franchise or call corporate and say, what do we do in this particular situation? Now, a funny thing happens when you stop viewing your problems as unique. Now, when faced with the reality that others have overcome the same issues, you realize that there's nothing limiting you from achieving the same results. Even though the thought that you're not as special as your mother told you that you might seem to be a little demoralizing, it's actually quite empowering. When you accept that your problems are commonplace, you suddenly are supported by all those who went before you and were able to come out on the other end. Now, the question is with businesses, why do the founders of businesses ignore that advice? Now, maybe as entrepreneurs, we require a healthy dose of hubris in order to do the things that we know are sometimes crazy. After all, who would willingly give up a steady income and stability in order to start a company where success is not guaranteed and it's actually a long shot? I would. And maybe that hubris is what leads us to thinking that we're unique and that our story will end differently than all the other ones that we've read. But getting back to those failure posts, I don't understand why we have blinders on when it comes to the basic tenets of doing business. For instance, there are common threads in most of the failure articles that I read. One of the big ones is that the founders warn others that they shouldn't buy into the hype that develops around their startup and that they should really worry about what the customer thinks and not what investors and the general public perceive. In short, they say that the other founders should focus on finding a product, a market fit, and that they need to provide something of real value. Add to this stage of advice, I have but one response, and that is, really? That's your big epiphany? You spent tens of millions of dollars in venture funding to come up with that? Look, maybe it's because I bootstrapped, you know, my company, but that kind of seems like common sense to me. In fact, I wouldn't have had any success at any point if I didn't first look for the product and the market fit and the territory. How on earth could I have grown a company if my customers didn't really want what I was offering? And maybe this is a problem that's unique to venture-funded companies because they have cash to prop up their products that are looking for a problem to solve. But there's a danger of other companies seeing the headlines and the glamour that the unicorns are garnering and potentially deluding themselves into thinking that they should follow suit. In fact, I know this is becoming an issue since I personally know several founders who have built successful companies and are now rolling the dice in launching a new product line. Their product launch strategies follow the venture model as opposed to the steadier model that allowed them to build their current companies, and that's when I start getting nervous. Now, when times are good, winners are plentiful. I could get into all of the other common sense mistakes that these failure articles discuss in a way that makes them seem like they're entirely new concepts, but I think you get the point. My true intention is to let other founders know that they too are not unique snowflakes. There is nothing unique and special about your situation. And the minute you start believing that, you'll start believing that you require unique solutions to your problems. The fact of the matter is that there are a lot of losers masquerading as winners right now. And when the markets are propped up by debt and venture capital, companies are able to dress themselves up in the garb of an industry leader while hiding their inadequacies below their robes. And to the outside world, all we see are the extravagant garments, and we shout, "How marvelous! Look at their success!" It's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. But while these losers can fool the masses for a short time with their borrowed cash, they cannot fool the market. The market is the dispassionate creatures that cares nothing about your headlines, your funding announcements, or your launch parties. The market is a cold and calculated beast that always works on the same basic principles: supply and demand. If at the end of the day you are not supplying something that your customers are demanding, you will fail. And no matter how you spin that failure, if you ignored the warning signs and believed that you were breaking new ground and blazing your own path, then that failure lands squarely on your shoulders, and all the mea culpas in the world won't pay back your investors to make your employees losing their jobs sting any less. Currently, it's 12:41. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So again, let's put failure aside and acknowledge that when we fail, it's usually our fault. If we're going to do a deep dive and really assess the situation, it's our fault. Now, as an entrepreneur, one of the things that I worry about when somebody is starting a new business, and I don't care whether it's in its infancy, whether it's in the first 2 to 3 years, or they've even been doing it for 6 to 10 years. But as I deal with more and more clients on the consulting side, I'm starting to see a lot of burnout. And there's 6 steps that you can take, or 6 things you need to know about burnout, that may be able to help you. First of all is the ability to recognize it long before it actually happens. So let's just say you've had your big idea, you decided to act on it, you started your own business, and now obviously you're doing everything that will help you succeed. Life as an entrepreneur requires immense discipline, focus, and above all, an overwhelming need to avoid burnout, both emotionally and physically. So here's a couple of do's and don'ts to help watch your productivity soar. Now, the first we're going to cover are the don'ts. So don't do it all yourself. As an entrepreneur, the big idea might be yours, but every business needs a neat balance of several skills to do well: product development, testing, operations, marketing, sales, web designing. Now you can even add social media savviness to the mix. And even though you might know a lot in each of these areas, it is almost impossible to focus on all of them with equal efficiency. So building a team with the necessary skills should be a top priority on your list, and delegating to them. You also don't want to spend too much time, or too much money rather, on marketing. Now, it might seem counterintuitive from other things that I've said, but there are several businesses who spend bloated figures on marketing, and when the traffic starts flowing, there's simply not enough to offer or keep them interested for long. It's always a better strategy to focus on the core product first and exhaust all the inexpensive marketing strategies in the meantime. Think content marketing, word of mouth, etc. But the time you have the product ready, or by the time you have the product ready, you will also have enough data to decide which marketing strategies will work best for you. Simply drop the rest. They are just a waste of your time, and time is your most precious resource, and retarget all of your energies and funds towards your effective strategies. And the third don't is don't keep waiting for the magic moment. It could be endless research or waiting for feedback or funds for a release or just plain fear that the product will fail. Whatever the reason might be, endless waiting to launch your product at that perfect moment will only lead to paralysis by analysis affecting not your business, but your morale and motivation, which are two of the most important assets for an entrepreneur. Now, let's talk about the do's. You do want to invest in good office space. And I don't mean you have to focus on competing for the next world's coolest offices tag. Not yet, anyway. But now that you have a team, make sure little frustrations don't add up to the already huge stress of building a business from scratch. So avoid those mistakes and have a comfortable, stress-free working space. You also want to make good use of technology, and that goes with your office space. Being an entrepreneur already means you are working significantly more hours than your day job. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you it's just a 9-to-5-er. You don't want to add up tasks on your list that can be automated. So invest in good team collaboration softwares like Moxtra or Twudo. Tools like Buffer and Hootsuite ease the burden of social media marketing. And there might be several other tools in your niche that could save you the cost of hiring people to do the same things. And number three, you want to have distribution partnerships. Everything from a great software tool to matchboxes require the right network to reach the right audience. Every business niche will have an established network of brokers, agents, manufacturers, reps, or other third-party resellers. You should also make a list of the things that customers will likely buy along with your product and reach out to businesses that are selling your bundling options. Reach out to influencers and ask them if they would be interested in selling or promoting your product via social media or their blogs. And I love that point in there about bundling. If you have something that can be put together with another product, now two companies benefit instead of just the one. And you open up your distribution channels further. So there's six tips to help you avoid burnout. We're going to step away for our final break of the day. When we come back, we got a whole lot more to cover here on taking care of business. And we're going to talk about the five things you need to know before you even start your business. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. Glad you could join us. And, of course, I'm from Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So you can always join us there. In fact, you can join us next Thursday for the third annual Super Bowl Tailgate Card Club from 5:30 to 7:30. Don't forget to log on to the Chamber website so that you can register as a guest and we get a proper head count. All good stuff there. You know, millennials get a bad rap. People talk about them and they say they're lazy. They're always on their cell phones. They don't have a very strong work ethic. But there's another thing about millennials that you may not know about. And I even see it in my own son. Millennials hate debt. And they aren't crazy about credit cards. And occasionally they'll post photos of the house or the car they just bought on Instagram. But that's some of what Facebook IQ, a unit of the social network that comes through User data with an eye toward marketers found in a report released on Monday that looks at how Americans on Facebook between the ages of 21 and 34 manage their money. Millennials are diligent in paying down debt, careful with credit cards, and dedicated to accumulating savings, the Facebook researchers wrote. The burden of debt weighs so heavily that millennials have redefined financial success around it, with 46% saying that financial success means being debt-free. Now, the report indicated that if you run a company that offers financial advice to millennials, the market is ripe. Young people spend plenty of time talking about their finances on Facebook, but only 37% have a real money management plan in place. And that's according to the report. People in this age category tend to be likely to save, with 86% saying they stash away some money on a monthly basis, but they are less likely than their parents to invest those dollars. Part of the reason behind that may be that millennials got their economic schooling during the Great Recession, making them more distrustful of established banks and institutions and 2.5 times more likely than their parents to trust robot financial advisors, which largely automate investing, charge lower fees, and require lower minimums. And oh yeah, when they make a really big purchase, sometimes millennials will post pictures online with hashtags like hashtag new car or hashtag new house. So very interesting concept there. And I kind of, as I was researching that story, I was thinking about my son, who at the age of 20 came to my wife and I and said, I'd like to start investing in the stock market. And we said, well, before you do that, let's do a test. Pick two or three stocks. Let's watch them for 6 months and see how you do. All three were winners. And he's picked other stocks that have been, you know, winners. My financial planner told me to stay away from Facebook when it was at $38 a share. It quickly went down to $18. I think at one point it was at $11. And yesterday it was up to $107 a share. My son had bought that. So you have to trust. They have to trust. But I think what they see is how their parents struggle with debt, with credit cards, always arguing about money. And they don't want that. So that's an encouraging sign for millennials. And hopefully it's a trend that will stay. And my other son is such a miser with his money that, you know, he's going to be rich Uncle Pennybags before long. Well, here's six things you can do to start off your year right as it pertains to business. And this time of the year, January, it's natural to think about resolutions and how you want to make progress within your business and your personal life. These are the six things that aren't resolutions, but they're things we can all do right now to start the year off right and prepare our businesses for a healthy and prosperous new year. First, you want to review your business credit profile. You should review your profile at least once a year, so if you can't remember when you did it last, this is a good time to do it. Dun & Bradstreet, Experian, and Equifax are the three biggest bureaus, so they are a good place to start because they want to provide their customers with the most accurate credit data about potential borrowers available. They want small business owners like you to periodically review their profile to make sure there aren't mistakes or inaccurate information. Number two, if needed, make a plan for improvement. Now, once you've had the opportunity to ensure your profile is accurate, you can dive in and identify your profile strengths and maybe even a few weaknesses. Knowing what your credit profile looks like now will help you plan to build a stronger profile if it's weak or make repairs if you've got less than perfect profiles. Number three, review your personal credit profile. Now, for most small business owners, it's also important to regularly review your personal credit score for mistakes or inaccuracies. Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion are the three biggest personal credit bureaus. And for some lenders, your personal credit score will play a significant role in how your credit worthiness is evaluated. So it's important to know what your score is, how it could impact your ability to access borrowed capital, and any action you can take to boost your score. Number four, strengthen your online security profile. Now, taking a few simple actions will help make your personal information safer online and start the year off right. Start by changing all of your online passwords, making sure you don't use the same password for multiple accounts. It makes it easier to hack into your bank account if you use the same password for your Facebook and other accounts. Number five, you also want to start monitoring your bank and credit card accounts daily. Online tools make it easy to see the status of your accounts. Keeping a daily tab on your accounts will help you protect your business from identity theft by catching things early. This became a real target for fraudsters in 2015, and daily monitoring will help you make sure nothing is slipping through the cracks and your business identity is safe. It will also give you a daily feel for the performance of your business. You also want to be careful using public Wi-Fi. Now, one of the least secure networks you can access with your sensitive data is the public Wi-Fi at restaurants, coffee shops, the airport, or other public places. Make sure you know the security risks of using any public Wi-Fi networks and avoid sharing private information on them. So just a couple of tips on all the things we should all be doing at this time of the year, getting ourselves ready for 2016 and making sure that we are in a good place, both from fraud and with our credit scores. All good advice there. All right. Currently 12:55. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. Wanted to mention, oh, by the way, hopefully you got a chance to see this. I did mention to him that I would be mentioning this week. If you didn't, you have to watch the episode of The Profit from this Tuesday night with a company called, I believe it was called 240 Sugar or something like that. This is a company in the Midwest that makes marshmallow treats, and they had over something like 200 things in their recipe. So Marcus Lemonis on the show The Profit went in. He was looking to invest. Walked into an absolute beehive. It was just amazing how many things were wrong with this business. And as the episode continued on, and I was live tweeting with Marcus, I was sitting there and I was making comments, and he kept liking them and liking them and liking them. And I was like, I can just, this can't possibly work out in a positive sense. But one of the owners, one woman at the end, she just flipped. And so if you get a chance, look it up. It was this Tuesday's episode of The Profit, and just a unique watch. Again, next week, the third annual Super Bowl Tailgate Card Club is going to take place at Crown Trophy of Flemington. It's brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and Crown Trophy of Flemington. Glad, hopefully you'll be able to join us there and share some fun, some food, some games, and hopefully do some networking where maybe you can obtain some new clients as well. But right now in sports, in NASCAR, there are only 23 days until the Daytona 500 and the 2016 NASCAR season begins, and I can't wait. Sad news in the NASCAR community is the voice of NASCAR, Hall of Fame announcer Barney Hall, died Tuesday after complications from a medical procedure. If you're a broadcaster or ever hope to be one, you'd aspire to be at least 10% as good as Barney was. Well, we are just 11 days away from the Super Bowl, and in the NFL, the playoffs are over, and it's time for the Super Bowl on February 7th between the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers. I believe the Panthers are currently 5-point underdogs. That will change, and of course, we have to get ready for the Super Bowl commercials, so all looking forward to that. The NHL All-Star Game is this weekend, as is the NFL's Pro Bowl. In the NCAA basketball, this is a poll that changes weekly now because all of the top teams keep getting beat. So right now, it is Oklahoma currently holding down the top spot in the AP Top 25 poll, followed by North Carolina, Iowa, Kansas, and Texas A&M. Villanova, Xavier, Maryland, West Virginia, and Providence round out the top 10. And these placings, as I mentioned, will change again next week as several of the teams in the top 25 have lost again. So once again, the big news is log on to 100andchamber.org and register to attend next week's third annual Super Bowl Tailgate Card Club. It'll be held at Crown Trophy, 33 Rayville Avenue here in Flemington, over by the Staples Shopping Center. It's a way for us to celebrate the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce's 100th anniversary, so you want to come out and support them. We'll have prizes, goodie bags, and a special treat for everybody, a special present for everybody. You can also get your picture taken with the Super Bowl trophy and then brag to all your friends when you go to your Super Bowl parties. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have upcoming programming topics or ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
With a minimum of 4 nights stay. So if parents are looking for something to do with children, mm-hmm. and you want to go to Punta Cana because sometimes it's a cheap way to go on vacation versus going to Florida sure. or California or the Caribbean, Punta Cana is now, you know, getting more involved with having families. Mm-hmm. than just